Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for August 23rd, 2011. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'm speaking with Hybert Mansfelder about how acetylcholine stimulates attention in the prefrontal cortex. The prefrontal cortex is a region of the brain that's responsible for what psychologists call executive functions. Those are the cognitive functions that help us make choices, differentiate right from wrong, and predict future outcomes to make informed decisions. The prefrontal cortex is also thought to mediate attentional focus, which is the ability to focus one's attention on information or stimuli that are important to a task at hand while ignoring information that's not relevant, and to maintain that focus for as long as necessary to complete a task or make a decision. Changes in the abundance of the neurotransmitter acetylcholine in the prefrontal cortex are associated with attention. Acetylcholine is essential for cognition and for processing sensory information. Loss of cholinergic activity during aging and during Alzheimer's disease is associated with cognitive decline and reduced attentional focus. In a study published in the August 12th issue of Science, Mansfelder's group reports that a specific subset of nicotinic acetylcholine receptors are required in the prefrontal cortex of the mouse for cholinergic regulation of attentional focus. Mansfelder is a researcher in the Department of Neurophysiology at the Center for Neurogenomics and Cognitive Research at VU University in Amsterdam. Welcome, Dr. Mansfelder.
Thanks.
In looking at how acetylcholine receptors in the prefrontal cortex function in attentional focus, you specifically looked at a subset of receptors that contain the beta 2 subunit. Why did you focus on that subset of receptors in particular?
Well, we started out with looking at two receptors. There are several nicotinic receptors in the brain, and a couple of them are most abundant, which is the beta 2 and the alpha 7 receptor. So we looked at both of those by taking first a knockout approach, which means that we used mice that lacked either the beta 2 receptor or the alpha 7 receptor and studied their attention performance.
How do you measure a mouse's attentional focus?
What we do is we train mice to look at one wall of an operant chamber, which has five holes in it. In each of these holes, a little light is present, and they're all off. The mouse has to pay attention to those five holes, because at some point, one of the lights will come on for a second. And then the mouse has to, if the light comes on, the mouse has to bring its nose to that particular hole in which the light went on to earn a food reward. So if it does so correctly, then it will receive at the other end of the cage a food reward. So during those 5 to 15 seconds in which the light is not on yet, the mouse has to stay focused on those five holes by counting the correct responses and the incorrect responses and the choices that the mouse makes, we study its attention performance.
In the mice in which you knocked out the beta 2 subunit of the nicotinic acetylcholine receptor, how did those mice perform on the attention test?
Of course, there are several things that can go wrong when the mouse performs in such a task. First of all, it can make premature responses, which would be, it would already stick its nose in one of the holes before the light would come on. The other thing it could be that when the light comes on, the mouse sticks its nose in the wrong hole, which would mean that it makes an inaccurate response. Or it could make no response at all, so it completely misses the light. So the knockout mice that we used made more of these omissions of responses, so it completely missed the light more often than the wild-type litter mates of these mice. They were looking the other way or whatever, but they did, they were not paying attention to the holes.
Your knockout mice were missing the beta 2 subunit in all the cells of their bodies. Specifically, which cells in the brain, though, was the beta 2 subunit required in for the mice to maintain attentional focus and to perform well in that test?
So the prefrontal cortex consists of several areas. So there's not just one particular area that's called prefrontal cortex, it's actually a collection of brain areas. So So in the mouse, there is the medial prefrontal cortex, which consists of three brain areas, anterior cingulate, prelimbic area, and infralimbic area. And then there are the lateral orbital regions, which I won't talk about. So what we did, we wanted to know, pinpoint where the nicotinic receptor subunit beta 2 would be necessary or sufficient to restore the attentional deficit that we observed. So what we did, we reintroduced DNA of the beta 2 subunit into either the prelimbic area or the anterior cingulate area of the medial prefrontal cortex, and then tested. So then the receptor would be expressed again in either of these regions, and then we tested in those animals whether function, attentional function, would be restored or not. And what we found is that in the animals that re-expressed beta 2 subunits in the prelimbic area of the medial prefrontal cortex, that in those mice, attentional function was restored back to the levels that their wild-type glutamate had and that control animals had. And animals that received beta 2 receptors in the anterior cingulate did not restore attention function.
How translatable are these results to humans? I mean, how comparable is the prefrontal cortex between a mouse and a human? The prefrontal cortex is required for a lot of the cognitive functions that we like to think of as uniquely human, like personality and decision making. So does the mouse prefrontal cortex perform the same sorts of functions as the human prefrontal cortex?
So obviously, the mouse brain is much and much smaller than the human brain. So not everything is going to be directly one-to-one translatable. But the build-up of the mouse brain is very similar to the build-up of the human brain. So individual brain regions you can find in the mouse brain as well as in the human brain, like the prefrontal cortex. Similarly, in a mouse as in humans, it's a collection of brain areas. And similarly, as in humans, in the mouse, it also is responsible for higher cognitive functions, of course, on the mouse level. I mean, the behavioral control, as you already mentioned, executive function, so planning and making choices, and these kind of functions. It also, the prefrontal cortex of the mouse also has these functions. So in that sense, let's say it is comparable, not exactly the same, of course, because human higher cognitive functions are really way more advanced than mouse cognitive functions. But it has comparable roles, so we think that finding these kind of leads for mechanistic understanding of how the prefrontal cortex functions and the molecules that are required for instance, attention behavior are good leads for us to then study the human brain.
Given the connection between the prefrontal cortex and attention, and the association between cognitive decline, such as that seen in age-related dementia or Alzheimer's disease, and a reduction in cholinergic activity, do your results have any direct implications for understanding cholinergic-based cognitive functions in the context of dementia or Alzheimer's?
What our results show is that these nicotinic receptor subunits in the prelimbic area of the medial prefrontal cortex are involved in endogenous cholinergic signaling during attention performance. These subunits in the prelimbic area are necessary and sufficient for proper attention function. So what we think is that these receptors in this particular area are a very good potential target for future treatments, better treatments, let's say, of, for instance, Alzheimer's. People with Alzheimer's now usually receive very general cholinergic medication, cholinesterase inhibitor usually, so that the medication prevents the breakdown of acetylcholine throughout the body, which is quite aspecific and gives a lot of side effects like nausea and other things. That's because nicotinic receptors are everywhere in the body. And with pinpointing the exact nicotinic receptor subunit composition that is necessary for proper attention performance, we think we can identify a much clearer target to develop much more specific drugs that can help these patients better.
Dr. Ransvelder, thank you for speaking with me.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
That was Hybert Mansvelder, senior author of a research report published in the August 12th issue of Science. That paper is by Guillaume and colleagues, and it's titled Nicotinic Acetylcholine Receptor Beta 2 Subunits in the Medial Prefrontal Cortex Control Attention. And that wraps up the Science Signaling Podcast. If you have any questions or suggestions, please write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. This show is a production of Science Signaling and of AAAS, Advancing Science, Serving Society. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and its publisher, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, thanks for listening.